Well, this is the day the Lord has made. Somewhere around the neighborhood, I am hearing voices saying that, yes, we will rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to Highlands United Methodist Church live stream this morning. I'm very grateful to be with you in this kind of way. We were ready. We had plans. We ran our plans by the director of Denver Health, and we knew how we could keep everyone safe. And here's the good thing. We're going to use that plan when we all get to come back to be together, and we're going to make sure that everything is continuing to be as comfortable as possible for everyone. But we recognize our role as a leader in the community of helping people know it's time to keep some space and keep everyone healthy and keep everyone safe, and those things matter greatly to us. So I want to say good morning to you. I want to let you know that the staff is here with us. You'll see a lot of us in different places. Paul is back there at the soundboard keeping a safe social distance. Good morning, Paul. We'll be here together throughout. Of course, there are a few announcements I'd love to catch you up on. We didn't put announcements in the digital bulletin, but the basic things are this. We're going to keep worshiping on Sunday mornings. We'll do this virtual way. We would love feedback. Please offer us how the experience has been for you. We're going to try to do some creative things to help you feel like you're here. I also want to let you know, connection is so important right now. We want people to stay engaged with one another and with this community. And so one of the things we're doing is launching an online prayer group. I called it virtual prayer at first. Then I was like, no, the prayer is real. The space is virtual. We will get together Wednesday nights at 8:30. And we'll send some details tomorrow once we get the Zoom link worked out. But you can join on the computer. And for those who will be getting a recording of this service on CD, and we've been, by the way, calling folks who don't have digital access, they also can call in for that prayer time. We'll listen to joys and concerns, and we'll pray together. So know that that's going on. As to other events that are coming up in the coming weeks, know that if it's a normal church gathering, we're not doing it right now. Live stream worship is the way we'll get together every single week. Any church meetings that need to happen are going to happen virtually. And then we'll keep you in the loop. Expect at least an email a week letting you know what we're hearing, all those kinds of pieces so that we can stay connected. So I invite you to settle in. I'm sure some of you are snug. You got a blanket, maybe a cup of coffee. Whatever that might be, take a moment. Find yourself at peace. As the light is brought in, if you've got a candle at home, I invite you to light one there as well, as we recognize the Spirit is present.
Please join me in our call to worship as found in your digital bulletin. Come, join the Lenten journey. We hear the call to walk with Jesus. Come, hear the stories, listening to all the ways they can help us see our lives. For in the everyday nature of our lives, great meaning is present. And so we celebrate the gift of life and the stories that we are helping to create. Our opening hymn, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, can be found within your digital bulletin. Please join us.
Thank you.
we invite everyone to prepare for children's time, we will sing We Glorify You together.
Good morning, everyone. I'm so glad to see you, or should I say, I'm glad you can see me. I only get to see the camera.
Well, hello.
Oh, hi, Dwayne.
Oh, hey. Oh, good morning, Miss Jenny. Quick question for you.
What's that, Dwayne?
Where is everybody?
Everyone is worshiping from home today.
From home?
From home. Yes, to make sure everyone stays healthy, we are having people watch church instead of coming into the sanctuary.
Oh, people are sick of church?
Oh, no, not sick of church. There are germs going around that can make people very sick. And the best way to make sure the germs don't spread is to have some distance between people.
Oh, okay.
Hey, how's this?
6 feet is enough space, Dwayne, and the doctors say dogs and donkeys are safe from it.
Oh, okay. Well, Miss Jenny.
Yes, Dwayne?
I'm a little sad and a little scared.
Those are very real feelings, Dwayne. Thank you for telling me.
Well, I miss our church friends, and I don't want people to be sick.
I feel those things, too. Not being together is one of the ways we will help other people not be sick.
So we're helping right now?
Yes, and we help when we wash our hands, cover our coughs, elbows to mouth, wash our hands, not touch our face, and washing our hands.
You already said that one.
Yes, but it's important, so let's say it again together.
Wash our hands. But that doesn't make me miss my friends any less, Miss Jenny.
You know, one thing we could do is draw a picture to send to a friend so they know we are thinking about them.
And could my friend send me a picture too?
Yes. Why don't you draw something and I'll post a picture and put it in the comments on the video?
And if the kids draw pictures, then their grown-ups could put theirs in the comments too?
Yes. And it's a good time to remember that grown-ups can support relationships by helping kids call their friends, text pictures of art projects, pillow forts, and even mail something to a friend from school.
I want to make my friends smile until I see them again.
This won't be forever, Dwayne. Just long enough to keep everyone as healthy as possible. The other thing you did that helps is you told someone how you feel.
That helps?
Sharing our feelings is important. It helps us care for one another and remind each other that we are important.
Important?
How you feel matters because you matter.
And how all of church friends are feeling is important because they are important too.
Yes, and it is good for us all to ask questions about things we don't understand. Share how we feel and remember that everyone is dealing with a lot right now. So we should be extra kind and understanding.
Well, I'm glad that I got to see you today, Miss Jenny. And I look forward to seeing all our church friends when it's healthy to.
Me too, Dwayne. Let's pray.
Okay.
Dear God. Thank you for connecting us.
Thank you for connecting us.
Even when we are in different places.
Even when we are in different places.
Please help everyone.
Please help everyone.
Be healthy and well.
Be healthy and well.
Help us remember.
Help us remember.
That we are not alone.
That we are not alone.
And thank you for.
And thank you for.
All the helpers.
All the helpers.
That care for people when they are sick.
That care for people when they are sick.
Thank you for loving us, God.
Thank you for loving us, God.
We love you.
We love you.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, let's do our children's motto together. In all that we think, in all that we say, in all that we do, may we glorify you. Amen.
Recognize that it's not the easiest thing to raise your hand, but we do know we have a comment stream, and you are welcome to put any requests for prayer right in the comments here. We did put a little link with my email address if you're like, I don't want to post a prayer on Facebook, but you are welcome, of course, to email me. And then please remember, Wednesday nights, 8:30, we're going to post on Facebook and get the information out tomorrow with the official Zoom link. But we will have a way for all of us to either by computer or by phone gather together virtually to share in prayer there as well. So we will still share in our music and our time of silence. So I invite you in your digital bulletin, if you would, to please get ready. Actually, I forgot. The Lord's Prayer isn't in your digital bulletin because it's repeat after me. So you'll hear me, and then you can sing that part. But we will sing the Lord's Prayer together, and then we will take a minute in silence, and then I will close us in prayer. Let's sing together.
Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done.
Join me in a minute of silence, whatever that looks like where you are right now. Our prayer this morning comes to us from the Reverend Michael B.E. Kurth from Christ Church in New York. Most merciful God, we come to you in this time of anxiety and uncertainty surrounding the outbreak of COVID-19. As the sorrows of our heart and mind increase, we cry to you, save us from all trouble and fear. be our rock, a place of safeness. For you, O Lord, are our stronghold and sure defense. For all who have died, receive them into the arms of your mercy and grant them peace. Surround those who mourn with your healing grace. For those directly infected, please help them recover in good health and restore them in body, mind, and spirit. For those at high risk of infection, especially those who might be older or have underlying illness, the marginalized, the poor, be with them. For those who have self-quarantined or are shut in, help them find peace, renew their spirit and their mind. For all the hospitals and doctors and nurses and staff, be with them as they minister to all those who are ill. Refresh them. Free them from stress. For the first responders, guard them for harm. For service industry workers, those forced to work as their community shuts down, keep them healthy. Offer them the resources that they need to assist and care. For those experiencing financial loss and uncertainty, have mercy on them. Alleviate fear. May they be surrounded by a community that will help them in finding their daily bread. For the leaders of our communities and states and nation and world, help make them sound and safe in their decision making. For all of the schools and students and teachers and administrators and school staff, as some schools remain open, as others remain closed, as leadership decides what to do, be with those who are uncertain. We also hold in our prayers the scientists and folks working to find a cure, those who seek ways to find connection, even if virtually. We pray for those who are young and don't understand what is happening. We pray for those who have a glimpse of what is. Calm us amidst the storm. As waves toss the boat and we, like the disciples, wonder, do you not care? Remind us not to be afraid, that with you, all things are possible. Be with us in this time, O Lord, that we might feel connection and your grace. Amen. Our next hymn found in your digital bulletin is Sweet, Sweet Spirit. Let us join together. This is a new one for me. Probably is for you too. I really wanted us to be together. We put extensive plans in place to make it as safe as possible. And it will be as safe as possible when we come back together. But for now, the healthiest thing for all of us is some physical distance. That said, we can be social at a distance, even while practicing social distancing. So whether you're still in bed and watching on your phone, perhaps you're on the couch with the dog and your laptop open, or maybe you and the family have it mirrored on the TV screen, we are together right now. Even if you are watching or listening to the recording after it's live, we are together right now. You know, it took me a while as a pastor to get used to praying over the phone with people. There are moments you can't physically be with someone, and so you on the phone say, "Can I pray with you while we're on the phone?" And it's a very different feeling. But in those moments with my eyes open or my eyes closed, whether I'm alone in the office or have stepped away at a party, that's always an interesting phone call. Just a second, let me step out of the noise and the busyness so we can pray. In those moments, I have learned to feel a connection beyond myself. And that is what I am feeling this morning. You where you are, and me where I am, we are not alone. And we are connected through God's love and grace. We are together because, best of all, God is with us. And since we are together, we might as well clear the air. There are a lot of feelings here. Some of us are frustrated. Some of us are anxious. Some of us are trying to figure out how to best use our time with so much time off of school. Some of us are uncertain of, am I feeling allergies? Is it just the cold? Why is my nose tickle? Some of us are hoping we make it through this alive. Some of us are not sure how bad this really is yet. Some of us are annoyed. Some of us are already feeling a financial pinch. Some of us are lonely. The list goes on because there are a lot of feelings here. And they are real. And even at a distance, I want to tell you, I see you. And I see all of your feelings. And you are not alone. This is a promise that's bigger than me. It's a promise bigger than this home where all belong here at Highlands United Methodist Church. This promise that you are seen and valued and never alone, this is the promise of God. And it is the promise Jesus embodied and extended. Jesus lived this promise of presence in many ways. Jesus was a complex person, just like you, just like me. It's part of being human. Which means Jesus was and is known in many different ways. Teacher, mystic, miracle worker, prophet, rebel. Today we are invited to know Jesus as healer. This topic was chosen for today months ago. I could have never imagined what today would be when I wrote down Jesus the healer on our calendar. Our Gospels, the four books in the New Testament that tell us of Jesus' life, the Gospels are filled with stories of Jesus healing people. Jesus enters the scene and suddenly the blind can see. Jesus stops for a conversation and the lame can walk. Jesus visits a community on the outskirts of town that no one else will visit and diseases are cured. Though when these things happen, they don't happen in isolation. You see, when I go to my doctor and they treat an ailment, that is the extent of the experience. It's transactional. I'm not well. Here's what we'll do for it. Now I'm better. It's a transaction of healing as a medical term. It's strictly physical, in a sense. It's a problem-solving transaction. Something didn't work right, now it does. But in the stories of Jesus, the physical healing, the getting better, is not the conclusion or main point of the story. The healing is a passage to something more. For Jesus, healing is tending to someone's soul. In biblical times, illness, particularly permanent afflictions, were a mark of exclusion. Something was wrong not with the person's body, but with them as a person. Such judgment and exclusion still exist today, and those who live it know that those of us who don't live it will never fully understand. Just like those who live it today understand these scriptures in ways deeper than those of us who don't. When Jesus sat with people who were living outside the edges of town because they'd contracted leprosy, his presence and his willingness to be with the people did as much for them as the cure he offered. While other people were just self-seeking, Jesus was looking for those in need. We hear this clearly in the 5th chapter of John. Jesus visits a healing pool. So this is a mineral spring that the locals would say angels stirred up. And it could cure the first person that got in as the bubbles began to rise. Hear the story. Sometime later, there was a religious gathering of the Jews. And Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem, there was a pool with 5 little porches. It was called Bethesda, and it was near the Sheep Gate. Inside these porches lay many sick people. Some were blind, some could not walk, some could not move their bodies at all. It was said an angel of the Lord came at certain times to make the water move. And all who waited there were waiting for the waters to stir, because whoever got in the water first after it was moved found themselves healed of the sickness they had. A man was there who had been sick for 38 years. Jesus saw him lying there and knew the man had been sick a long time. And Jesus said to him, "Would you like to be healed?" And the sick man said, "Sir, I have no one to put me in the pool when the water is moving. I try, but when I am coming, someone else gets in first." 38 years looking for a cure that was just out of reach, unable to get anyone to help him. 38 years watching others go right past him to get better. A few verses further into the story, Jesus will tell him, "Pick up your mat and go home." But I want to tell you, healing came for this man before his body got better and he walked home. Healing came in the acknowledgement of his existence, the validation of his pain, and the offer of a relationship by someone who didn't just hurry past him, but stopped to say, "I see you." I tell you, as someone who's never held a belief that I could cure someone's ailment, I am someone who has witnessed, even shared in healing moments with others. I've watched people die from incurable ailments, whether rare or a simple part of aging. I've also watched people live when it was unexplained. I've watched dying people experience healing. Healing is not bound by our bodies. So while we're talking about cures, I want to name that I am not one who prays for the miracle of healing on a person. This may take a little more conversation for some folks to understand, and I am willing to have that conversation with you. But it comes from how I understand God. When I sit bedside with someone seriously ill, I pray without ceasing. I pray for the doctors and the nurses to be wise. I pray for medicine to be efficient. I pray for families to know peace. I pray for that person who is ill not to be afraid, for them to be strong and hopeful. But you will never hear me pray, "God, make this person well." Because I don't want to set up a paradigm where if the person doesn't get well, it was God's choice for them to die. Yes, I have watched people recover from the unrecoverable. I have witnessed unexplained medical mysteries. But I don't believe those moments are God choosing some people to live while others die. And this applies very importantly to moments like our current epidemic. I'm not going to sit here today and say, "God, I pray for everyone watching this not to get sick." Prayers don't keep viruses out of our bodies. Physical distance and hand washing do. I will pray for hope and peace. I will pray for medical workers to have tenacity and scientists to find ways to treat this. I will pray for neighbors to see the needs of those around them and tend to them. I will do all of that praying. I hope you will do all of that praying. And we will also wash our hands. Prayer is powerful, and so is 30 seconds of scrubbing. Do both. Jesus was healing, not in ways that simply took away an ailment. Jesus was inviting people. Jesus in his healing always extended an invitation to participate. To those who might walk again, he invited them, "Get up and walk." When a young girl is brought back to life, he asks, "Please sit up." When restoring sight to a man, that he invited him to wash his eyes. It was told this way in John 9. Jesus said this after he spit on the ground, mixing his spit with the dust. He put the mud on the eyes of the blind man, and then Jesus said to him, "Go and wash this off your eyes in the pool." So the man went away and washed, and when he came back, he could see. Jesus always invites participation. You need to be a part of this with me. These invitations ask us to be active in the process. The interesting thing, if you read the stories in our scripture, the physical cure had already occurred. To get up and walk, the body's already healed. To sit up, one must be alive. Wiping a mud away to open your eyes and see, the eyes were already cured. So why was Jesus inviting this participation? Well, to do any of these things that Jesus invited, you must have trust in the person who invites you. Hear me clearly. These people were not cured because they believed enough. They believed enough to discover they were already cured. The trust and the relationship revealed something to them. That is a part of understanding Jesus as healer. Again, we find it's not a transaction or a simple cure. The physical healing, the getting better, is not a conclusion. It's a passage to something more. For Jesus, healing is tending to the soul and building relationship. To see this most clearly, we turn to a story of healing that has no physical cure. A Samaritan woman came to the well to draw water. And Jesus said to her, "Give me some water to drink." His disciples had gone into the city to buy some food. The Samaritan woman asked, "Why do you, a Jewish man, ask for something to drink from me, a Samaritan woman?" Jews and Samaritans didn't associate with each other. Jesus responded, "If you recognize God's gift and who is saying to you, 'Give me some water to drink,' you would be asking him, and he would give you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you don't have a bucket, and the well is deep. Where would you get this living water? You aren't greater than our father Jacob, are you? He gave us this well and drank from it himself." Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks from the water I will give will never be thirsty again. For the water I give will become in those who drink it a spring of water that bubbles up into eternal life." This story from the Gospel of John asks us to look closely at what is asked for and what is offered. It's not just a cup of water. Now, the woman at the well is Samaritan, so Jesus, as a Jew, was not to be associating with her. And even within her own community of Samaritans, we will find later in the scripture, she is a shunned and marginalized person. When she walks to that well in the heat of the day when no one else goes, she goes to be alone. When she walks to that well alone, she carries with her not only a jar to fill with water, but she carries with her the weight of exclusion and judgment and shame. And so Jesus begins the work of building relationship and tending to her soul. He says in different words, "I see you and all of your feelings, and you are not alone." And he describes this relationship of validation and acknowledgement, that presence of God's grace. He describes it as a living water, or as the play on the words in Hebrew implies, waters that will spring forth and never run dry. He sees the parched condition of her soul and offers her a spring of water flowing forth. He doesn't offer a quick fix. He doesn't offer a platitude. Those would be about as helpful as a cup of water, momentarily dampening, but not able to quench the greater need. Because Jesus isn't looking for a quick transaction that might be a temporary cure. He wants to build a relationship that will offer ongoing care for her needs as a person. He wants for her a constant presence within that will offer life. That's what healing is. A constant presence within that offers life. Healing is not about an illness. Healing is not about cures. Healing is about life. A life we live in which we feel seen and heard and valued, not only by others, but by a God who loves us. A life in which we know that whatever comes, we will not be alone, because best of all, God is with us. That is the Jesus as healer we are invited to know. We are invited to come to healing waters, not so our ailments might be cured, but so that we might know that life overflows. And that is what we will seek in these coming weeks. We will do the work to stay healthy and keep our communities healthy. We will wash our hands, we will keep our distance, and we will heed advice from medical experts and not just Facebook posts. All the while, we will seek a healing that cannot be shaken by symptoms or presumptive positives. We will pray for wisdom for leaders and doctors. We will pray for patience for ourselves and our neighbors. We will pray for strength for those who are recovering. And I invite us to pray for healing, the kind of healing that reaches the tired, anxious, frustrated, and worry-weary parts of our souls. Healing that builds relationship with the love of God, even though we are at a distance. You are seen. You and all your feelings are held in grace, and you are not alone. Amen.
During this time of uncertainty, it is important to know that we will still be supporting all our ministries here at Highlands United Methodist Church, along with paying all of our staff members. There are still many ways to give through our online portal on the website or by simply mailing in your check. I ask that you please join me in our offertory prayer as found in your digital bulletin. In response to the love you have given us, God, we offer here what we have, what we do, and even more who we are, that our generosity might transform the world. Amen. Please join me in our sending prayer as found in your digital bulletin. God of life, we seek your help as we continue this Lenten journey. We seek to know life in a deeper, more meaningful way. As we hear the stories of Jesus, may we find a place of connection and understanding. In his life journey, may we encounter love, acceptance, justice, and hope in ways that shape our journey. Amen. Our closing hymn, Blessed Assurance, can be found in your digital bulletin. Please join us.
Take a moment and thank you for being with us virtually. This is different, but the world is different at the moment. And so this is how we will be. We will do our best to continue to offer moments of deep connection. I hope you will join us Wednesday at 8:30. We'll gather virtually and pray together, joys and concerns and listening and silence. It'll be beautiful. Please be with us so we might hear your voice and hold you in prayer. A word of thanks to the entire staff. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for keeping the Purell bottles handy. It's important. And a word of thanks to Paul. You never got to see him on screen, but Paul makes sure that things work around here, and we're very grateful that you're with us and a part of the team. So let me offer you a word of blessing. It is my prayer that we will all be healthy because we will do the work to keep one another safe. We will wash our hands. We will keep social distance, but we will not be unsocial in this time. Because it is through relationship that we might find healing. The kind of healing that comes as a promise from God who looks at us and says, I see you. I see your feelings and hold them in grace. And I am with you. You are not alone. May you be blessed and be a blessing as we seek such living waters together. Amen.